Happy Friday, everyone. We are so glad that you're spending your time with us. This week, I sat down with my friend Meredith Lipscomb. She's one of those people that if you aren't already friends with her, you want to be friends with her the minute you meet her. We talk about the right time to take a road trip with your significant other, what old people tendencies we do in our 30s, and what hobbies we would start if we had the time. Welcome to the Happiest Hour. Welcome to Marathon Village. This literally starts at like 9:30 every morning.
A lot of things meet here.
Well, they do these tour buses where it's not just like the, I mean, Redneck Riviera comes through, FGL House, all of them, but also the sweet old people tour, you know, where they're getting like the looking tour of Nashville and there's a guide who's like telling them all about the history of stuff and all of that. They come through a lot.
All I know is when I'm an old person, I want to be on the FGL bus. That sounds like a blast.
Okay.
I want to do the comedy one.
Mm.
I think I've heard the comedy one. Yeah. I've heard it's hysterical.
Really?
You're going on a tour through Nashville and then he's just telling jokes the entire time.
I wonder if he comes up with a different set list or if he tells the exact same jokes every single time.
I hope not. I hope he switches it up for his own.
This would actually be a fun experiment. Let's do the comedy bus 1 week, and then we'll go do it again the next week, and we'll count how many jokes he just reused.
I like it.
But we have to go on the same day, because I bet he, like, has certain days of the week or something. I bet he has a set for, like, Mondays.
Yeah.
Like, this really gets the Monday people fired up.
And then Tuesdays.
Yeah. And then Thursday, it's got to be a whole nother set, because you have a whole different audience, right? Because those are tourists.
But can you redo Thursday every Thursday? Or is the Thursday 1 week maybe your Saturday the next?
So maybe we should do that. Maybe we should go on a Monday a Wednesday or something. Just like see if he – we're going to have to do it several times.
We're going to have to go every day.
Yeah, basically.
Every day, yes. Yeah. There we go.
And write down his entire – record his entire set list, go back the next day, record it, and then basically we'll do this for 2 weeks straight. And we'll figure out.
This sounds expensive.
It does sound very expensive. I wonder if we can get a partnership.
We got to figure out what it's called. I think it's just called like the comedy bus.
Comedy bus. This is something that we could probably find very soon.
Are you talking about the one with the women who lead it and they're very kind of like crude?
Maybe.
That's the one that I've heard of.
Redneck Comedy Bus?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
It looks familiar.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that bus.
I've definitely seen that in Midtown.
Yeah. All right, let's see how expensive it is. Oh, they're in the Smoky Mountains, too. It's $35.
For how long?
It doesn't matter. I think it's that's still a lot of money.
This is like a two-hour tour.
You know. It does say from $35, so I wonder, like, what do you get? Like, back of the bus is $35, and front of the bus is like $70, or how do they?
Front row seating compared to back row.
Yeah.
Seating.
Oh, okay. Ah, if only we were 60, it would just be $30. Ages 60 and over the hill is $30.
See, it pays to be old on these tacky things.
I mean, it pays to be old. Period. They get senior discounts are. Legit.
Yes, I agree.
Fun fact, like 29% of our listeners are age 60 through 150. So
150?
that's the age range that they gave. And I was like, cool. So it's we'll speak our louder. Grandparents and our grandparents who have died.
Yep. Cool. Awesome.
Love it. Okay. Meredith, I was telling them that I was going to force you to come up with like your brand today. Like, what is your log line? Like, if someone were to ask you, like, who's Meredith, what would you say?
You're going to ask me that on the spot.
Yeah. It's not controversial. You said you'd wing it.
My brand is bubbly.
Okay.
Approachable. And let's say bright.
Ooh, bright. Do you mean like smart bright or like when someone is around you, they just like feel happier?
You know, that one.
Okay.
Feel happier, not smart bright. But these are, of course, all things that I think of myself. Mm. Actually, if I was developing truly a brand, I would have to ask other people how they perceive me.
I would agree with everything that you just said. For the record, we've been friends for a while.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you guys been friends?
Gosh, we met at Fit Factory. Shout out again. Johnny, sponsor us.
Johnny, something.
Or free Fit Aids or something. Yeah, we met at the gym probably, I guess, like, 5 or 6 years ago. Like, very early on when they moved to their Midtown location.
All I know is that you were Athlete of the Week. And
oh, my gosh. I forgot that they used to do Athlete of the Week.
When you were Athlete of the Week, I did not really know you. And I was intimidated and thinking, this girl is way too cool to be my friend. Mm.
Still probably true.
But here we are.
Here we are. We bridged that. We crossed that barrier. And
now I'm bright and bubbly. And
what was the other thing you said?
Approachable.
Approachable. Yeah, that's, I agree with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like, so we've had this conversation before. There are some people that you meet in life, like you have one encounter with them and you are like, I need to be friends with that person. I don't know what I have to do, but I want to be friends with them. And Meredith was one of those people for me.
Why do you think that is?
I think because you're approachable, you're bubbly, and you're bright.
Gosh, I really need to come up with a logo. We've got the brand set.
I know. It's done. I've already got started working on the brand guide. Is that how, like, so in my introduction, is that how you would want me to describe you? Like, today we have Meredith Lipscomb. Mm. She is bright and approachable and bubbly. Enjoy our episode.
And then all your audience would be like, okay, but how is she on a bad day? Because I am so human. That's a great question. And honestly, when I was listening to some of your other podcasts, I was like, man, what should my tagline be? What should my credibility be? Just say, you know, the way I describe my mother is, I don't really know what she does for a living, but I just say she's a businesswoman, which she loves.
Perfect.
So you could just say she is just a businesswoman in Nashville, a bubbly businesswoman.
She's an approachable businesswoman. She does not wear a pantsuit, y'all.
No, she only wears pants with a stretchy waistband.
I mean, that's how everyone, I think, is after COVID. I can't tell you the last time I wore jeans. And actually, I would have said that before COVID too, because I had a shoulder surgery and I literally could not put on actual pants. So I started wearing workout clothes to work every day. And y'all, it has not stopped. I am still wearing workout clothes every day to the office.
See, I'm a big fan of the jorts. So like the jorts that I have from Born
which
Primitive,
he is wearing I'm right now, wearing. Y'all.
Yeah. Oh. And they're stretchy. They got a little stretch in them because they're workout jorts.
Oh, that's so the brand that JT posted about the other day.
Hold on, they have actual workout jorts.
They do. Oh, yeah. I have they're black. They're just for dudes, I'm assuming. I have light denim. No, you can get them for females.
Like some Daisy Dukes.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
I don't know if I could pull out the Daisy Dukes, but.
I just can't imagine that they're actually that comfortable. Like, I don't want to do squats in jorts.
I've done it.
And what was your, you know, give me a number out of 10. How likely would you recommend it?
8 or 9.
Wow.
I'd do it again. I just feel kind of.
But have you ever worn Lululemon, though?
No, I have not.
Okay.
No. Mm. I did get, Ashley got me some Lululemons for Christmas, but we haven't actually gone shopping for set Lululemons. And we're
so
in
she got you a
April.
Gift card?
No, it was just kind of more like a promise. Like, oh, we'll get to it eventually.
She wrote it on a little piece of paper and said, just holla at me when you're ready to go shopping.
Yep, pretty much.
You know what? My parents did that for my college graduation, and it's still a joke to this day. I did not get a college graduation gift, but instead in my card, I got a photo that was cut out of a magazine of a watch. Okay. I think there was a promise in there somewhere that I could go pick out a watch. I still don't
have
a watch.
You never did it?
Nope.
I think that you should cash in on that.
I know. I think it has
an approachable businesswoman. You need to have a watch.
Yes, but I have no backbone.
Fair.
We're not going to put that in your tagline, okay. though. We're not putting that in your tagline.
Yeah, no.
But it's still a joke in our family today.
Did you guys ever, I feel like this was a total middle school and high school thing, when you were dating someone, like give them a little coupon book for like a relationship anniversary or Valentine's Day or any stupid occasion that it's like Arbor Day and I gave them a coupon book for like a free hug.
Yes.
To me, that was a big deal because if you get a free hug from me, that's like, that's as if I paid, like spent $1,000 on you.
That's
emotionally.
True. That's weird. I haven't received any of those books.
From me?
Yes. I would like a free hug.
I might just, then your next birthday, which is, I mean, you're going to be waiting for a while. Mm-hmm. I'll just get you a card and put a picture of a coupon book in there. So one day, if you ever get a backbone, you can.
I'm going to have a really nice photo album of all the gifts that I will one day receive.
Someday you'll be able to cash those in and get some awesome hugs and maybe a really cool watch.
Yeah.
Okay, so an approachable businesswoman.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think on it.
Okay.
But for the purposes of today.
Okay.
Sure.
No, I think that's a good. Okay, so.
Is businesswoman too much? Because, like, when I think about my life, I don't think about work.
What do you think about?
Friends and social life and family. You know, not necessarily in that order, but so something along those lines, like I don't know, what would you say, like a socialite?
Is that a, I mean, that's, I feel like that only applies in like the Hamptons, maybe
in the 20s. Yeah. The Hamptons in the 20s, socialite.
Oh, that's not still a thing that people use.
I don't think so. I could be wrong though.
It's only from the Great Gatsby. Cool.
But I do have a job, so you do.
You do have a job, and you run the like the Nashville Marketing Association, right? Is that what it's called?
Well, no.
Okay.
Other people do that.
Tell me what you do.
Okay, so I am involved in an organization called Society of Marketing Professional Services.
Ooh.
Short SMPS.
I like that better.
Okay. And this is a national marketing organization geared towards professionals in the engineering, architecture, and construction industry. So for Nashville, obviously, a lot of construction, a lot of people in that industry. We have like 100 members, and I am the membership chair.
Did you want to do that?
Funny story, when I moved to Nashville in 2014, I didn't know anybody here, and I went to an SMPS happy hour with my boss. And I left that happy hour in charge of all social events for the year.
Wow, you must have made quite an impression.
They were desperate. Yeah. But so I've been involved with them ever since then. And, you know, some years I was just like as a member. But last year I moved into the membership chair role. Basically, I get to take people to coffee and plan social events that make people feel connected and have fun and Yeah. So
no, I feel like it's been great for your career, but it's been really bad for me when I just want to randomly hang out with you and you're like, no, sorry, I have to take someone to coffee or, you know, I have this marketing event.
Yes, especially in 2020 and so far in 2021, those excuses and work events are 100% related to SMPS, which is like a side gig through work.
Do you get paid for it?
No. Nope. But I mean, you know, some things are during work hours, so technically. Yeah.
Do you feel like it's going to set you up for success if you ever want to leave, like, what your current job is? Or how does it, like, benefit you?
Yeah. Well, it benefits me in a lot of obvious ways, like, one being making connections and networking.
Which you're really good at.
Thank you. When people join SMPS or are interested in it, then I'm kind of the face that intercepts them and like tells them about the organization, helps them get plugged in and everything. So it's really good from a networking standpoint personally, but then also for my company Catalyst Design Group.
Just in case you guys listen to this, we will trade ads for just I don't know, like $5 a month.
Or if you're in need of civil engineering and landscape architecture services.
Yeah. Actually, I might need some landscaping.
Do they do residential landscape, though? It's pretty much all commercial, right?
Mostly commercial, unless you are like a Titans player or, you know, a millionaire developer or something.
We could make Nick a Titans player.
I don't know. All 5'7 of me probably could not make it on the Titans football
team. We just need to bulk you up with some protein, and then you're just a running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, right behind Derrick Henry? Oh, yeah. Great idea.
Well, you know, we all have something to shoot for.
Shout out to Derrick Henry. Yes. If you're listening.
I mean, he really is just like a monster.
Yeah, powerhouse. Yeah. Straight powerhouse.
If he ever leaves, I will cry.
Are you a big Titans fan?
I mean, you know, it depends on who you're comparing me to.
Okay, so who's your team?
The Titans, for sure.
Oh, well then, who am I comparing you to?
Well, to someone who's a diehard Titans fan.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so it's not like Titans versus another team. It's just my personal love for Titans versus, like, I don't even know who loves the Titans that much. Anna. Shout out to Anna Holt.
Better listen.
She'll be so excited.
She will be. I'll tag her.
Yeah, so when I say I'm a Titans fan, I mean I root for them and I know who our quarterback is. So I feel like that counts.
Virginia doesn't have a team.
No.
Right? I guess so they like are what? Washington Redskins or I'm sorry, the Washington football team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to come up with. Are they like working on developing another name?
Yeah, they're still working on it.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Are you from Virginia?
Uh-huh. I'm from Richmond. The Richmond area. Yeah.
Please tell Nick the story of what you guys used to do for Easter. Your little truck situation.
Oh, yes. Are you guys familiar with a mud bog?
Vaguely.
Where are you from?
Ohio.
Okay. Well, this was not like an Easter Sunday situation, but it was a Good Friday situation.
Oh, that's right.
But in high school, me and my friends would go to a mud bog, and a mud bog is basically a huge yard party, and I'm saying yard, field party, where people have dug a super, super deep hole, filled it with mud, and people come from all over the county to drive their trucks through it.
How big is the county?
I don't know. Could be some neighboring counties in there. All the rednecks come together.
Finish your story.
No, that's all you do. All the trucks just try to see if they can drive through the mud. Literally have never seen one get through it. So it's very anticlimactic because the truck will come, you're all excited, and then they get stuck and you wait 30 minutes for another truck to pull them out. Great time. Great fun. So this past Good Friday, I got like a Facebook memory from however many years ago.
Yeah, how long was that ago?
Let's not do the math. 10? 2006? 15 years ago.
15 years ago.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that is insane.
Too young. I was too young to be there. But the good news
was drinking involved?
Not for me.
Okay.
Me and my friends didn't do it.
Yes, you were a good Friday gal.
Yeah, me and my friends didn't do it, but I will say that it probably would have been more fun if we did.
So did people dig these holes specifically like for this event, or were the holes, they were already being dug, so they needed to be used
for some reason? This is a sport.
Interesting. Only in Richmond.
No, this has to happen where you're from.
It probably does.
100%.
It probably does. I'm from probably a very similar county situation to Meredith.
Probably smaller.
Actually, Greene County, county-wise, is like one of the biggest counties in the state.
Hmm.
But it's very, very redneck. So I would assume that stuff happens.
Yeah.
What is like the most redneck thing that happened in Richmond that you are aware of?
I mean, the mud bog is probably up there. I'm thinking back 15 years. I don't know.
We'll say the mud bog. I mean, I can't like even think of anything that, because me and my friends were not, or at least I was not super redneck. So I've never even been mudding. The whole thing seems stupid to me.
That's okay.
Because
wait, you've never been mudding, and you're from Eastern Tennessee.
Yeah, I've never been mudding. I would absolutely never go in my car. I think it might be a fun experience, like if I were just riding with someone. But if I were the one, like if I were taking my car, I would not even be able to leave the area without washing it. Like I would have a full arsenal of car cleaning stuff in my trunk in order to clean it before
you
I left.
Are
it would
lying.
No, it would bother me so bad. Even like, you know, all the pollen is falling right now because spring and it is a nuisance. It bothers, like every time I look at my car, it drives me crazy.
Cause it's that weird tint of yellow on your,
oh, it's
on
so
your
gross.
White car.
Yes.
Oh, it's so
and
gross.
You know what? I feel like when I first moved to Nashville, I didn't have allergies in Virginia. And when I moved to Nashville, I got so sick.
Welcome.
Every year.
Mm-hmm.
Then I feel like I kind of got used to it. Well, then last year, we were in quarantine. So I felt like I didn't have allergies last year. I was like...
Because you were inside
the
whole time.
Yeah. And this year, I feel like it is hitting me hard. So I don't know if that's like a thing. Maybe
it is totally a thing. Nikki J, how are your allergies?
I'm not allergic to anything that I know of.
Wow.
But when I moved to Texas,
blessed.
They have cedar.
Huh.
Like cedar is their big pollinator down there. And it was all of a sudden I had it and I did not feel good for like 3 weeks. I couldn't sleep. My nose was congested. It sucked.
Hold
then I moved
on.
Back up here and I was fine.
When you say cedar is their big pollinator, like the cedar doesn't actually do the pollinating, right? It's just the... Is that just where the pollen comes from? And that's where like the bees... They get the bees get the pollen from the cedars, and then they just, like, take it wherever they please because they're bees.
You know what? I don't know, but I know cedar pollen down in Texas is a thing. Maybe that might be something we have to look up for.
We'll definitely fact check that because
now
I feel
I'm
like...
Not, it's not even a fact check at this point. It's like, hey, just in case you're curious, this is what actually happens in Texas with cedar.
Yeah, and pollination, because I'm sure we learned that in, like, eighth grade, but I... TBH did not pay as much attention in science as I wish that I had.
Bill Nye would be a great guest on this podcast.
Oh my gosh, I know.
We
Bill Nye, if
so
you're
much.
Listening, we would love to have you.
Tag him too.
Yeah, we'll tag Bill.
At Anna Holt, at Bill Nye Science.
Yeah. Oh man, I mean, everyone's got to have goals. I just, 10 listeners would be...
Hey, we're getting there.
We are getting there. I'm trying to give myself,
I mean,
all of us
Meredith,
grace.
Meredith has listened to a couple of the episodes.
Yes,
yeah, I know.
I'm
going to
keep listening.
You're a good friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm very bright and approachable.
And
loyal.
Bubbly.
Let's
oh,
add some loyal.
Loyal. Okay, but you're not a six. Or
no.
You don't know what you
have
are.
You, so have you talked to people about Enneagrams on this yet?
We talked about it last week a little bit.
It comes up. Yeah.
It's such a thing now where I feel like it does routinely come up in conversation. Like more and more people are getting familiar with it. More and more people are talking about it. So
yeah, I love the Enneagram. So any chance that I have the opportunity to talk about it, I'm definitely going to bring it up. I feel like it just is my framework now of being able to understand people around me and like why they do the things that they do. So like Ashley earlier was like, you know, why... We were talking about Cody and how he was a little bit more just kind of hesitant to go out during the height of the pandemic. Totally reasonable. But we were like, why is that? And I was like, well, one, he's a six. And two, just like, you know, situations around him warranted it. But that to me, like him being a six made the most sense of why he didn't want to do anything. And like, you know, even have the chance of something going wrong.
Right.
And Cody's your boyfriend, correct?
Correct.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Cody Sanders, we're going to make him listen to this episode.
I told him he needs to come on this on the podcast.
Cody would hate it. Are you kidding me?
You could pay him $1 million and I don't know if he would.
He wouldn't. Even for a safety net of $1 million, which we could never give you, Cody, he would still not come on this show.
I know. But here I am for free.
Sixes hate being the center of attention.
Yes.
Which is, yes. I mean, I guess it's interesting. I don't know. I kind of love being the center of attention. So it's always weird for me to when people are like weirded out about it.
Well, that's why I feel like well, one reason I feel like we work really well together, because I'm totally comfortable being in the center of attention most of the time. It would be really hard if we both were, like, competing to be.
You know, and I think that's fair. Like, I don't feel like I need to be the center of attention. But if I have it, I'm happy to have it. But if you have it, I'm happy that you have it. Because you deserve it. And you're funny. And you should have it sometimes, too. We should share the center of attention, just not with Cody.
That's why sevens and threes work so well together.
Yeah, but you don't even know that you're a three. Have you taken the... Yeah, what's your, like, most recent assessment?
Well, I just read I read The Road Back to You.
Which I recommended to Nick today, because I told him to take a test, and his results were kind of... They weren't bad. I don't necessarily think that they're incorrect. He tested really high for a seven, which I, like... Hmm. Can totally see, and it would make sense why we would get along so well. But he's not afraid of commitment. He is able through.
Whoa. I'm kind of afraid of commitment, just not in this realm.
Not in this realm either. And for everyone listening at home, I'm pointing to Ashley, whom he loves very much, and we have talked about it.
Yeah, but like, it took me a long time to like get comfortable with somebody that was willing to be like that committed to. For a very long time, I was not even close to the committed person at all. Not even close. She likes to tease me about it, actually.
Well, and also...
But with Ashley, you committed quickly, but it was just with the right person. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We just said, hey, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And if it fails, then it fails. But we're just going to...
You're in it.
We're in it. Yeah.
Love
Which
it.
Is
and
why
I'm
we
like...
went out on a 4,000-mile road trip, I think, like 6 weeks in.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and told me that story now.
That
so
is
impressed.
A make or break situation.
Oh, yeah. And look, she's still here.
What do you think about the idea of, like, someone that you have not been dating for super long going on this, like, big road trip? Because it's not the first time. Like, they're not the first couple that I've heard do this, and it has either worked for them or it's been, like, the deciding factor that, like, no, it's not going to work, and that's okay, but we did this road trip. I do think that you should do a road trip with someone before you get married, but I'm like, it's going to take me 10 years to get married. So the road trip could be 6 years down the road.
What do you consider a road trip?
I mean, between Nashville and Chattanooga, like, are we talking like a 3-hour road trip, or are we talking like, hey, let's drive out to,
let's like, drive Cody out. And I are about to go to Utah. Should we cancel our flight?
Okay. Well, I mean, you guys know this. Like, I went to y'all's house in Creve Hall last night, and I was like, this was a road trip, you know? So like, if I, even if I just went to Franklin with the guy, I'm like, I don't know. This might be too long.
So everyone should at least ride in the car with their person for 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. It'll tell you everything that you need to know about them. And if you want to stay engaged in the relationship, expert advice from someone who hasn't dated anyone in a really long time.
Wow, that's incredible, though.
But what's your opinion on it? You and Cody have been dating for a long time, like over 2 years now, right? So this Utah trip is like, I mean, it's normal. It's not weird.
Yeah. However, in the 2 years, we haven't gone on like a big trip like this. Mm-hmm. So we've gone on like weekend trips, but because of the pandemic last year, everything, you know, we had to pause everything. We were supposed to go to Utah last May. So instead, we just decided to grow our relationship locally. So, I have no concerns. but I think it's just going to be fun. But I do think, like, a road trip is interesting because everyone has a unique road trip style, right? Like, I am the sleeper. Like, put me in a road trip. A car for an hour and I'm
asleep. You're not even going to stay awake and, like, keep him...
Absolutely not.
Engaged?
No, I am very tired.
Wowzers.
I know, but see, the sleeper is what I want in my car when I'm driving. Like,
fair.
If I'm driving you, go to sleep. But is that I'm going to listen to my music. Oh, yeah, he's fine.
You're right. I, like, asked that question and then I thought about Cody and I was like, no, he's completely fine with it.
Yeah, he is just listening to music, having a great time.
Okay, well, you know, to each their own.
But I do think that's really impressive to road trip that early in your relationship because it is, like, you learn a lot about a person, I would think.
I feel like that's, like, when you are, if you road trip with them, you are going to see them, like, at their worst, at least for, like, 30 seconds. At some point, even if it's just road rage,
yeah,
you're like, wow, this person is crazy and they have some major anger issues. I can deal with that.
Or was there any, like, backseat driving? As I am getting bad at that the older I get.
I mean, there were some times where she would, like, grab the, grab, like, the armrest.
Oh, and she's like, one of those.
But, I mean, for the
most
part. Are
you a bad driver, though?
I don't think so. I just, maybe I might come up on somebody a little too quick when they're in the left lane, but I mean, come on.
Pause. Ashley is here, so why don't I just ask from the source?
Oh, no.
Ashley, is Nick a bad driver?
No.
Okay, she said no.
I might have to crank that up in the volume just so everybody could hear that in the microphones. She said no.
I can attest, she said no.
Yeah. No, but I mean, we definitely saw parts of each other because we camped during that. We spent a night where we were the only truck in the campsite. It was right after the season ended, and we were in Mount Rushmore, or right outside of Mount Rushmore, and it snowed like 2 inches the night before. We woke up, there was not a squirrel print, there wasn't a bird print, there was nothing out there. So, I mean, we did 4,000 miles. We stayed in the same hotel room. We stayed in the same air mattress that I got pushed off of into a wheel well in the bed of my truck. So we pitched a tent in the bed of my truck.
Sure.
That was like our tent. It was off the ground. It was great. And we had an air mattress in there. And it fit perfectly between the wheel well, except for maybe like an inch. I thought I centered it. Apparently, I did not. Next thing I know, I'm in that inch, pinned up against the wheel well and what was left of the air mattress in our own 0-degree sleeping bags.
See, at first when you said that you were the only people out there, I thought like, oh my gosh, this is the perfect
murdered
crime scene.
Yeah.
But
of course, then, but they're here with us unless it's their ghost. When you said,
then when you said not even a squirrel print, that sounded quite nice.
Yeah, there was 2 inches of snow.
I don't know. It sounds
kind of
boring
awesome
to me.
Is that seven you trying to find the new adventure?
Yeah. Well, just like having. So I'm just like not super comfortable with silence. So if it's just. If there's nothing happening, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to find something. Or I'm talking to myself, or I'm listening to music. Like, just being completely still in silence is one of the most uncomfortable places for me.
Do you feel that with yourself only, or only when you're with other people?
Always. Hmm. So let me clarify that if I'm like with another person, I don't feel like we have to fill the space with talk. Like, I am very happy just being with someone.
100%.
But if I am with someone in a car and we are not listening to music or we are not talking, that sounds terrible.
What
so,
kind of psycho isn't listening to music?
I don't know.
Car?
I've never done it before. But, you know, that would be a situation where I would be really uncomfortable. And if I'm like, if I'm by myself, I'm listening to music or I'm thinking, or there's always something happening to where silence is not like a situation that I'm ever in. It should be a situation that I put myself in for growth, but sometimes I'm not interested in that. So
I know that you're supposed to be asking me questions, but I have a question for you. Yeah, you're about to come on go on a sabbatical, right?
Kind of.
Like going on a trip by yourself.
Kind of.
So are you excited about that?
I actually do like traveling by myself, but I don't intend for it to be like silent. I am going to Joshua Tree for a few days, which I'm very excited about.
Cool.
And then I'm going to LA for a few days. And LA, like, I want to just go out and network, and I'm planning on working, not like working, but like writing and stuff like that. So I am like, I'm going to be meeting people. When I travel by myself, I'll go to a bar or something, and I'll talk to the bartender or I'll do something. So it's not necessarily like silent.
Yeah.
Joshua Tree will be interesting because that will be Joshua Tree. I don't know if you guys have seen Joshua Tree, but it is kind of in the middle of nowhere. So that might be a challenge.
How long are you there?
Just a couple of days. I can probably do it. But y'all, a few years ago, tried to take a quote-unquote silent retreat.
I remember this.
You do remember this. I lasted less than 12 hours. So we'll see how Joshua Tree
goes.
She
came on home.
I did. Yeah, I turned off my phone. I just planned on getting so much done, so much time with Jesus done, like processing, kind of thinking through my year. And I ended up coming home less than 12 hours later because I was like, this is miserable.
So well, you see. Probably came home and came directly to Rose Pepper and went out for margaritas with us.
Probably. So. Yeah, that sounds way better than a silent retreat.
That actually sounds more like the Gina that I have grown to know and love.
Yes. You love me, Nikki J. Speaking of all of your different names, I have a theory.
Oh.
So Nick has not divulged his, is that the right word? Divulged?
Yeah.
His middle name.
I've heard.
Thank you for listening. So I have a theory.
Okay.
That Nicholas is your middle name and you don't want to tell us what your first name is.
No, Nicholas is my first name.
Damn it.
It's got to be a family name.
It is a family name.
Stuart.
No, not Stuart. No. But can we just... I like Nikki J. Let's just keep with Nikki J.
That's a
like
great that. Radio name.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
DJ,
our,
Nikki
J. That was all. That was all Gina. 100% Gina.
Wow, I can't wait till you start getting royalties from that.
I know, right? Well, if you need... I can start working on your brand. I mean, we talked about it, so
I've got
I
a
will,
long way to go.
I can definitely throw something together for you.
Hey, all it takes is a really good conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what we've honestly learned, I think, during all this, is that it just takes a really good conversation and getting to know somebody and being like, you know what? Well, you know, this is what's really cool about you. And even if it is talking about what they've done or talking about their life, and even if it was, you know, going mud bogging or whatever.
Like, yeah, I don't think that someone has to have awesome. Like a hobby or a career to make them interesting.
100%.
And I feel like maybe that is one of the traps that we fall into because we listen to, I mean, we're so bombarded with content from people who they have these careers that we kind of fantasize about, right? Mm-hmm. Like we talk about Armchair Expert a lot on this podcast because it's one of my favorites. But I feel like it can be dangerous for us mentally and emotionally because we think, wow, like, I'm not Rachel Bilson. Like, mm-hmm. I've never been in the OC, or I don't act, or I don't do all of this amazing stuff, so therefore I'm not interesting. But everyone's interesting. If you poke long enough, everyone has fun stories or interesting parts about themselves that are amazing and that we should get to know and that we should honor and, like, share.
Yeah, just about, I think for me at least, it's about being asked the right questions because a lot of times I'm like, I'm just a normal girl. But then if you like ask something specific, like, oh, I heard you went to a mud bog. Like, oh, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Let me tell you a story. Some people just have that natural born gift to like dig into their archives and like throw a story at you. Whereas like I feel like I need to be probed.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this today because one of the questions that I was like thinking about for you and for myself was like, what's your favorite childhood memory? And I was like, well, I don't want to ask that because I don't know my favorite childhood memory because I'm like, I've never gotten enough REM sleep. Apparently that's been like your memory processes, and I am a terrible sleeper. So I don't remember things from last week, let alone my childhood. So we're definitely, I'm not going to ask you that because I don't want you to twist it back on me.
Okay.
But all that to say, like, I don't remember what I was gonna say.
I do feel like I have a lot of good childhood memories, so it's really hard to pinpoint the best. But the one that sticks out the most to me about my worst childhood memory.
Oh, okay. Taking it there.
And it is so dramatic. It is not even bad at all, but I was literally in kindergarten, and I still remember this to this day.
You remember kindergarten?
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because I wanted, tell me if you remember the cowboy boots that had the fringe. It was a girl. It was for girls, but they had the fringe, and they had like a star on the side.
I do remember them. I never wanted them, but I do remember them.
Oh, I wanted them so bad, and Tiffany Bridges had a pair. And she, you remember in kindergarten, the good old days where you took a nap during school?
I do remember that. Yeah, I miss those days.
Tiffany Bridges told me during nap time that she made her boots and she would make me a pair of boots. So I was so excited and so happy. I came home and told my mom, and I am not even kidding you. I dreamt that night that my mom took me to Saxon Shoes, which is a Richmond brand, and I picked out a pair of white cowgirl boots with the fringe and the silver star. I was so happy. And then I woke up and realized it was a dream. And I bawled my eyes out.
That's really traumatic.
Straight heartbreak. And then my mom told me Tiffany was not going to make me boots.
That's really traumatic. I mean, mom coming in hot on a kindergartner.
She laughs about it now, but I'm serious. Like, I don't know if I've known heartbreak that extreme.
I would have at least just been like, maybe just give her some time, or I don't know. I'm not convinced that that's like the right way to parent, but that's just how I would do it because I am also don't have a backbone. So, well, I do sometimes, but yeah, most of the time I don't have a backbone.
You can tell if you did the right thing when you're parenting, if 30 years later your child still remembers it or not.
Okay. So what would you say, that it was the right thing or the wrong thing?
I mean, I feel like she should have just pretended. And then Tiffany could have let me down, not her.
Exactly. Yeah, this is all Tiffany's fault.
I don't know where Tiffany is now.
I wonder what Tiffany's doing these days.
You do realize we have Instagram and Facebook.
I tried to Facebook stalk her, but I feel like she's gotten married since kindergarten.
She's probably making a bunch of people boots. That's like probably her business.
She's a fashion designer now.
Yeah, you could pay her now.
Her name is Jessica Simpson, I think.
Oh, speaking of Daisy Dukes. That was, I mean, she did, what was it?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know that I ever watched that, actually.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Jessica Simpson one, or the original?
Well, I mean, the original show was also fantastic. I love the original show. Even the reboot with the movie. It's got Willie Nelson. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Johnny Knoxville's the brother in it. Like, how do you
maybe I have watched it.
Jump into it.
I do remember, like, seeing Johnny Knoxville play that role, but I don't know if I saw the whole thing or if I'm just thinking of, like, you know, the commercial.
I quote a couple parts of it here and there. Like, we'll be at the bar while I'll be working the bar, and somebody will come up and, like, drop off food or, like, accidentally spill a drink or something. I'm like, oh, I thought you said go, Bo, go. See how that's kind of familiar? And the line is, I said no, Bo, no. See how that's similar?
Oh, my gosh.
Nikki, I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, so and I definitely have not seen it enough to be able to quote it. But I definitely appreciate that you put yourself out there.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
But when we were talking, I actually, there a couple of questions came up. You mentioned something that you did that was like kind of like an old person thing. I can't remember what it was now, but you mentioned it.
Today?
Yeah, like while we were recording.
It was about being on the bus.
Oh, yeah. You were like, I would want to be on that bus when I was old.
Oh, no. She wanted to be on the FGL bus.
Yeah, when you were old.
Yeah, she wanted to be on the young person bus.
But my question is there any like old person thing that you guys have found yourself like starting to do more and more of? Like, for example, for me, it's so obnoxious, but I do this thing when I like, when I haven't seen a young child in a while and they have grown a good bit, I'll see them and I'll always make the joke. And oh, it makes me cringe just thinking about it. I'll be like, oh, are you driving yet? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am a grandparent. So what's y'all's old person thing?
I feel like it's a long list.
I know. Tell us about it.
Well, for one, it used to drive me nuts when I would drive in the car with my mom and I would roll the windows down and she would say it hurts her ears. She would make me roll the windows up. Totally hurts my ears now.
Yep, get it.
Yes, so that's annoying. That's one.
Along those lines, driving in the rain and when it's dark, I'm like, I can't do it.
Literally can't see.
If it's 8 p.m. and it's raining, sorry, I'm staying in. Or you can come pick me up.
Gina, I'm not going to lie. Coming here today, I was like, how do I turn my headlights on?
To be fair, you kind of have a new car. So,
and also, to be fair, I am in for the night at 5:30 p.m.
Fair. Yeah, it's kind of late. We have to wait for my boss to leave.
This is after hours, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're making me feel young. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's the happiest after hours.
Yeah, the happiest after hours.
We've changed our podcast name so many times in the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
What's one more?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wait, what's about yours? You, Nick?
Well, actually, when we were on the drive here today, Ashley put down her side of the window, and right away I went, boop, and just put mine down enough so it could.
Is that what you were going to say?
No, it wasn't what I was going to say. But right when you said it, I was like, that literally happened about an hour and a half ago. But mine, honestly, my jokes are just getting more dad and more dad as the day continues. It's horrible. And I'm.
Were they ever not dad, though? Has anyone confirmed that for you? I like, are they actually getting more dad, or were they just always dad and you were realizing it? I think they were just
cheesy.
Okay.
But now they're, like, dad cheesy, because there's a distinct differential between, oh, no, he just told, like, a cheesy joke, and to, no, he's literally reciting Now and Later and Popsicle jokes. And I think that's just where I'm at.
Are you still consuming Now and Later's?
No, but you can also Google it on your phone, Now and Later jokes, and it actually brings up an entire page.
Oh, my gosh.
The fact that you know that.
Yeah, you have to tell us one. What's your most recent Now and Later joke?
Oh, man. There was a really good one that I used on this couple at the bar the other day. I was behind the bar, and they're like, tell me a really funny joke, and I just couldn't remember one. So then Ashley was sitting on the other side of the bar, and she looked up like an entire laundry list. And I just don't remember what any of them were.
Ashley, you really are the best companion. I'm like a little jealous that you're not my girlfriend. I'm like, I could use someone to pinpoint some jokes for me.
Yeah, everyone needs an Ashley.
Yeah. You're a lucky man, Nikki J.
I am.
Oh. You know what else I've been doing?
Oh, tell me.
I remember this was a couple years ago, but you remember the, well, Nick, it sounds like your parents were really cool, but you know the radio stations that your parents would listen to when you were little, and it's like Seal and like, I don't know, but like soft rock, you know, or whatever, like
sure.
Soft alternative.
I can't even tell you what station is.
Who was the woman that did the nightly thing?
Delilah.
Yes.
Not did the nightly thing, is doing the nightly thing.
Okay, is she still doing it?
I think so.
Whew.
The whatever radio station she covers for where you're from, right? That kind of music. One day I was just driving and I didn't have Bluetooth. And so I was like scanning the radio and I was like, ooh, this is a good song. And then another song came on. I'm like, man, what a banger. Another song came on. Great song. And I look, I am on that station.
You were listening to that my parents listened to. What were some of the songs?
I don't know. I think it was like, come on, everybody, baby, do that countdown. No, Gloria Estefan. And then I definitely Kiss from a Rose. That's like one of my all-time favorite songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. That, like, you know, that genre.
I can't even tell you what station that was, like, looking back.
You can or you can't?
Sunny 95.
Yeah. Mine was Late 98.
See, there we go.
We did not listen to it, so I can't tell you. Yeah.
Way to have a cool family.
Well, I don't know if that's it. But yeah, we definitely didn't listen to Delilah.
But that was like a wake-up call for me that I am getting old.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there are any other examples. I feel like just the, like, even the existentially getting more cynical, right? Like, you know, I feel like when you're younger, you kind of are like, oh, people are awesome and the world is my oyster and the glass is always half full. And then when you reach a certain age, one thing goes wrong and you're like, that's just my life. Yeah, I feel like you just become more cynical, and I'm really like trying to fight against that. But it mostly comes out when I'm like driving or I have an interaction with someone that doesn't go well. And I'm like, Lord, please do not let me just, you know, blanket say that all people are the worst, mm-hmm. because, you know, that would actually be antithetical to our podcast. Literally like 20 minutes ago when I said the people are awesome, it would be antithetical to that. So I'm like, okay, how do I like not become a cynical old woman? Like, I feel like just that's just what happens when you get old.
Well, let me just encourage you that you're like 30, so you've got a lot of life left.
My body feels so old, though. Like, yes, my age on my driver's license says 30, but my knees feel like they are 90.
Well, to be fair, you've gone through a lot.
Gone through a lot. Never play sports, people. It's not worth it.
Unless you're Derrick Henry, and then yes, go for it.
No, we actually we had this conversation the other day. We forced against my will to go to a work lunch, and they asked the question, would you rather be like a professional athlete or a performer, like a world-class performer? And my answer was, I would rather be a professional athlete because you could also be a, you could become a performer. Like LeBron's going to be in the new Space Jam, you know, like he's technically doing both. And they were like, oh, but you're like, your joints, your body's going to be so, it's going to be so hard on your body. I'm like, I'm already feeling the effects of my body getting older. I might as well get paid some major bucks for it.
What sport would you play?
Basketball, for sure. What about you?
I mean, I think I would like to play golf.
Really?
I think.
Why?
Because it seems peaceful and it they always play really pretty places and you can play it till you're old and it's less hard on your body.
I do think that it's less hard on your body, but I've never played golf. Golf is actually like the one sport that I do not like, so I don't know how hard it is on your body.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the closest thing I've come is Topgolf, and I have a great time. So I feel like, what's different?
Nick, do you play golf?
I have a set of clubs.
There you go.
That's about as...
So you've thought about playing golf.
Well, I think when I bought the clubs, it was 2011. So, I mean, I've had these clubs for almost 10 years, and I've gone quite a bit, but it's just been a long time since I've gone, if that makes any sense. Like, early on, I was like, ooh, I got new clubs.
Sure.
And we were going once a week.
You felt like you had to get, like, your money's worth.
And then, you know... Here I am 10 years later, and I don't think I've taken them on the course three times in the past 5-6 years.
Was it easy on your body?
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely like done things in my life that have been way worse in my body than
I do feel golf. Like there's, like, a lot of twisting, though, that is with golf. So I don't know necessarily how, like, good it is on your knees and your hips to be adjusting the way that you are for every single swing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you take a look at all sports across the board now, like, sports medicine is not what it was when we were growing up. I mean, if you take a look at, especially what we're doing at the gym, like, we have a more understanding of what you need to get the power in the hips, to get the kettlebell above your eye level. Like, in golf, we know more about the swing because we can see the isometrics completely in the full swing and how everybody's bending. And we know more for chiropractic reasons, for physical therapy reasons. So there's just so much more that we know in the sports realm that is helping us identify early on, hey, is this what we really should be doing?
Yeah.
Because back then it was like, you'll be fine. Here's some dirt. You'll be fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Toughen up.
I think it's definitely gone to a way that has helped the athletes instead of maybe harm them as much as it would have 20 years ago.
So here's a question. Do we think if someone starts in football now – versus had they started 20 years ago, that they are going to be safer now and come out on, like, the other end of it safer and healthier than athletes right now?
I think, well, with football, you have concussion protocols. So, like, you don't want to put them in a helmet too young because then they start banging their heads way too early. So now I've even heard of some schools not allowing – tackling until you're in middle school. Like, the first time you tackle is in middle school when you've had more time to develop, you've had more time to actually develop.
Yeah.
So
I mean, to be fair though, are guys actually developed in middle school? I feel like if that's the case, we should not tackle until college.
That's what I was
at
say.
A minimum.
I feel like middle school boys are still so little. I feel like boys didn't start growing until junior year of high school.
Yeah. I feel like it's a general rule for you guys are unique. Nick, you're just very mature, I guess. But I'm like, I can't date a guy that, like, less than 2 years older than me because otherwise I'm just way more mature than he is. Maybe it's a me problem and not like a guy's development problem. But I don't know. Like, I feel like middle school might still...
When you think about it, you're not having a sophomore in college or a sophomore in high school go and tackle a seventh grader. Like, seventh graders are still tackling seventh graders, but they just want to make sure that they're instilling beforehand that, hey, there's other ways to go about this instead of just putting your head down and ramming your head through a wall.
Right.
It's more of, hey, go for the waist, go for the ankles, go. Maybe you just go for the belt that's hanging on them to get that flag off their belt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and pull their pants down because middle school boys love that. I feel like pantsing people is just like the most immature thing that you can do, and middle school boys would love it.
Also college boys.
Yeah, also
I don't think too much changes. I'm 30 years old, 32 years old, and I'm still thinking.
Listen, y'all, one of my like best friends in college, we were sophomores in college, and she pants me in the elevator.
Nuh-uh.
So like it's a, yeah, I mean, and she's a girl. So, you know, there are, I guess it's not the same for everyone, but I mean, you know, it was pretty traumatic. I had my hands full, so I couldn't even pull my pants back up. Yeah, it was something else, but I feel like I'm a better person for it. So
sure,
here we are.
You have to look at it that way, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think if someone pants me now, I would be able to handle it better than I did as a sophomore in college. However, don't pants me now, because now I wear like workout leggings every day, and if you pants me, everything's coming down, and that would be way more traumatic than just like a pair of sweatpants.
Noted.
Okay, so the last question that I have before we get to the good news is, you know, I feel like we've talked a lot about, or, you know, you've kind of mentioned a couple of times, you're like, oh, I have nothing interesting to bring to this. Mm. I completely disagree, but I think it's a fun question to think about. If you were to start a new hobby or to like pick something up, what would it be?
Ooh.
And it can't be golf, because you've already said that you'd pick up golf.
Okay. I'll have to think of something else, but it wouldn't probably be golf anyway.
That's only if I made money.
Yeah,
from
if
it.
I made millions of dollars. Okay. If I could pick up a new hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm like starting to get into cooking.
Oh, okay.
But I really would love to be good at it. I don't know a lot about cooking. I've got a lot of stories that prove that. but
you're trying.
But I will say that like I just didn't grow up doing it really. Mm-hmm. And so now I think especially being in a relationship where it's not just like me, you know, having to figure out what I want to eat, but I'm like, it's almost like a way of loving someone else is like cooking for them. Mm. So I feel like I'm really into like finding new recipes, and I'm by no means like a health nut at all, obviously, but I do feel like it is automatically like healthier when you cook at home than most of the places that you'll go out to eat.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, especially when I'm going to pizza and margaritas.
Sure.
Or something.
Well, usually if you're using like fresh ingredients,
yeah,
your sodium and like the amount of preservatives,
butter,
on the food is going to,
yes,
be significantly less. So in that sense, yeah, it's going to automatically be,
yeah,
healthier.
So I would love to like be a great cook or like be a great chef. And I really enjoy it. So Sunday afternoons, especially in quarantine, when there was nothing else going on, my afternoon was like NFL, if it was on, and a glass of wine / two or three.
Sure.
And
glasses
taking my time just cooking and meal prepping, and I loved it. It was so therapeutic. So that's probably what I would say.
I love that.
I know. Who
would
have thought?
No, I really love that. And I feel like that is the case for a lot of people. I do not get a lot of joy out of cooking unless it's like something I'm doing with a big group of people.
Right.
Otherwise, I do not want to spend hours in the kitchen at all.
And
ever.
Again, I think it's different when you're cooking for other people,
yeah,
than just yourself, because, okay, like low key, when I was like 23, I went through a 6-month phase where for dinner, I would legitimately eat a sleeve of saltine crackers. That was my dinner.
I mean,
so we've come a long way.
Yeah.
But that's like, I mean, when you're, I mean, at least when you're in your young 20s and you're single and like.
And also they're cheap.
They're basically free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes a difference when you, you know, can like use it as a way of like loving other people, I feel like.
I love that. We have plugged Masterclass a few times, but mm-hmm, I signed up. I like did not star any of the cooking classes, but it might be something that you and Cody would be interested in, because they have a lot of different cooking classes on there.
I definitely want to look into that, because mm-hmm, I don't even know if I know what that is.
Yeah. So it's basically like, I can't even think of any of their names right now, but a lot of celebrity chefs are on there, and they like walk you through just a lot of different cooking processes and how to cook certain cuisines. And I mean, there is one that I signed up for that was basically just like cooking at home, like the most basic level that you could get.
I mean, that's practical.
Yeah. I'm like, I need a place to start, so this would work for me.
What are some classes that you signed up for? Did you already talk about that?
No, not really. So the majority of them are probably like screenwriting and comedy related. And then there are a few random ones. There's a mixology class that I signed up for and a wine appreciation class. I'm trying to think of some of the others. A lot of them are kind of focused around, I would say, the arts.
Okay.
So, you know, I started the Shonda Rhimes Writing for Television course. And then I'll probably go to Judd Apatow's comedy class. And then Steve Martin has a comedy class. So I'm like kind of doing these things where it hopefully will benefit me in writing my television scripts. But also I just like, I love learning and absorbing as much knowledge as possible.
How very seven of you. So many hobbies.
I know, so many hobbies. Nick, what would you choose? If you had to pick an entirely new hobby, what would it be?
I mean, cooking's such a good one. And especially, so Masterclass, it's Gordon Ramsay that does it.
That's it.
And he doesn't scream at you.
Okay, I was going to say, is he scary?
He's
very level-headed.
He's not scary in it. But, I mean, cooking would be something we've done. Home Chef is what we've been doing for the past couple months, to where we get 3 recipes a week, and we just kind of build up. We're like, oh, we really like this one.
Do they send you the ingredients?
Yes.
Like,
and it's everything you need. So it's not like you're going to the store and you need, you know, like 2 cloves of garlic, and the next thing you know, you have to buy an entire thing of garlic. Like, we're not doing that. But we written down on the card itself for the recipes, we really like this, but what if we did this? So we had a penne, like a mushroom penne the other night. And it's like, well, what if you...
Oh, I was here for that.
Yeah, you were.
Oh, I should have had some.
And right after you left, I was like, goat cheese would be really good in this.
Ooh, yes. So, like, I'm a big fan of goat cheese.
It's just doing that. But, I mean, I would love to eventually maybe start writing one day, like creative writing. It's another thing that my dad's kind of picked up in his older age. So there we're back again to like, oh, what makes you getting old? Well, I'm turning into my dad.
We have talked really about developing or writing like a book of short stories.
Oh, yeah. We have talked.
We've thought about doing that.
Especially through everything that we've been talking through all of our guests. And then me as a bartender.
Oh, I bet you've got stories for days.
So we have a guest in a couple of weeks who she writes short stories, and she's published 3 or 4 books at this point of short stories. Wow. And I would be really interested to hear just like what her process is and all of that, because I feel like, especially now that I don't even actually know if you want me involved, but I would love to do it with you. But like her process of just writing these stories, and I feel like I would actually benefit from short stories because my attention span is really, really poor. So it would benefit.
It's not poor, it's small.
It is geared towards short stories.
It is developing.
There we go.
Yes. So, you know, short stories I feel like would be my jam, because I'm like, oh, I only have to write 5 pages? Great. I'm done. This is perfect. Yeah.
So you couldn't write like a full like feature? Maybe one day?
One day I would love to finish all of the features that I have in process. I mean, we kind of touched on this last week, but like I genuinely do not know how I finished, like I graduated from film school, because I did not finish one script that we started. Not one. So I just like, even, I think I did finish maybe some of the television specs, but the features, I'm just like, oh, this is just like, it's such a dramatic beginning and dramatic end. Like there is a set beginning, set end, and it's, you know, you kind of have to develop that full story in one setting, where like TV is just so different. Like it's a long game, you know, like your favorite TV show is Friends, Mayor. So I know that you get this. Like you spent, what is it, 9 seasons?
10.
10 seasons. With,
no big deal, it's 10.
With these characters, it's a long game. So like I don't feel like, with television, you have to know exactly where you're going to end up, but you kind of know, like, I know in this episode, I know what the goal is. I know what they're like striving for.
Right.
So I'm just going to go for this episode and then we'll move on to the next one. And there is an element of like, you kind of have to know what the season is about, but I just feel like television gives you just so much more time with these characters and you don't have to rush the story. So yeah, you know, one day maybe I'll be able to finish a feature. Right now I'm like, I love writing 45 page scripts as opposed to 120 page scripts. It fits me much better.
I got you.
45 sounds really long. I thought a short story was like a paragraph.
Okay, so, well, not necessarily a paragraph.
I'm picturing like the Mother Goose book.
Okay. So I think adult short stories are a little bit different than that. I think they're a little bit longer.
And also I think this is considered a fable or something.
Yes, maybe. So a short story would probably be closer to 5 to 7 pages. If you're writing like a narrative, like short story in like novel format. So if I'm writing a book, there's not like a scene direction or action or anything like that. 5 to 7 pages. Hmm. If I'm writing like a TV pilot, it's going to be anywhere from probably 35 to 50 pages.
Wow.
Because if you think about all the blocking, if you think about all the setting, like how you would set up the scene in your head, but you have to convey it onto paper. That by itself might be half a page, depending on what, like how detailed you want that scene to be.
And like the idea of a script page is like 1 minute per page. So if you're thinking about television now, which generally if they're going straight to a streaming service, they're going to be longer than 22 minutes, which is kind of the typical sitcom for network, right? So they're going to be generally between 40 and 45 pages, I would say, at minimum.
Wow. Yeah, this makes me think differently about everything I'm watching right now.
You're welcome. That's what we're here for.
Interesting. Learn something new every day.
I know. That's what we're here for. All right. Good news.
So speaking of learning something new every day.
Yeah, speaking of good news. Learning something new every day. The first story comes from Science Focus. And the headline is Coffee Waste Can Supercharge the Growth of New Forests. So basically, they dumped 30 trucks full of coffee waste on land set aside for reforestation. And it recovered a lot faster than forests that didn't. Is it the caffeine? I'm not sure. But I think that we should look at that. I think that, you know, if caffeine helps humans, then I guess it can help the environment.
Sounds like another case for Bill Nye.
There we go. Bill Nye.
Yes, Bill, we are so tagging you in this.
And Bill, this episode. I just want to know how much I need to know to put in my backyard to have my own stuff grow. I don't want to regrow a forest. I just want to, you know.
A nice maple tree.
Yeah, exactly. Or a nice cedar tree. I don't know yet.
So we talked a few weeks ago about these like wind turbines that basically suck carbon dioxide.
Dioxide. From...
I didn't want to say it.
What did I say?
Dioxide.
It's fine.
I thought it was like a tomato.
And one of those is correct.
I don't know about that. I've always said carbon dioxide.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah, I feel like this is a tomato situation or whatever. Like, I don't feel like this is like a, you need to correct Gina. You just need to let her dialect come through.
Maybe start from the beginning because I don't remember what we're talking about.
Wind turbines collecting carbon dioxide. So these,
oh, whatever. So turbines are like sucking carbon dioxide from the air. And it is awesome. It's working, but it's a way more expensive process than just letting trees do their thing. But generally, trees and forests take a long time to grow. So I think this kind of like plugs into that. And if we can grow forests and trees faster, then we can take more of the carbon dioxide from the air. I think it's really interesting.
That is interesting.
How much caffeine do you guys consume every day?
A forest.
You have a forest of caffeine?
Wow. Ooh.
I don't know. I think I have like I use an old-fashioned coffee pot, and I usually fill the water up to like 5 for myself.
Which is
5
about,
cups or
no,
5 ounces?
It's about, it's probably about 2.5 cups.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because for us, we fill up the 4, and our 4 is 2 cups.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't even know what we're saying anymore.
So I have 2.5 cups of coffee a day, plus some creamer.
So I started this week getting like large espressos where it's like 4 shots.
Where do you get that?
Ugly Mugs, but I'm not doing it ever again. I feel like there's such a major crash in the afternoon that is not worth it.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm just like, just give me a regular coffee. That's all I need. I feel like now if I try to quit caffeine, I'm never going to be able to because the headaches are going to be so miserable. Even just after 3 days.
Yeah.
But the good news is caffeine helps forests. So
so I'm just going to drink
so
more.
So I'm going to keep supporting it.
Heck yeah.
All right. The next good news story. Well, I'm not sure how I feel about this yet. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not. There's a Home Alone reboot.
What?
Very close to being finished. Ooh. Says Kenan Thompson, which is one of its stars. How do you guys feel about this?
I don't know. Meredith, I'm on the fence.
Okay, so I know you love Home Alone 2.
I love both of them.
Both of them? They made 3 and 4, and 3 and 4 were horrible.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm only considering the first two. Home Alone and Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, two of the greatest films ever made. Not even just Christmas films, just films. And Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, hot take, bad take, my take.
Shaking my head.
Is better
no.
than the original. The villain is better. The setting is better.
The villain's the same.
Yeah.
No, the
villain
is... I
was just going to say that.
The villain is not the same. The villain is way more believable than the sweet old man across the street.
Oh, the fake villain.
Yeah, the fake
the pigeon
villain.
Woman?
The
fake villain.
Yeah.
The pigeon, yeah, the pigeon woman is kind of creepy. She creeped me out when I was younger.
Yeah, I was not about her.
Yeah, so like the villain that like, you know, sets you off on the wrong track. You think this is going to be bad, but it's not. She is way more believable than the sweet old man across the street. And the setting is, it's New York. Like, I mean, Chicago is one of my favorite big cities. Like, I would rather live there than New York. But New York is beautiful, especially at Christmas time. Like, the setting is just so much better.
But I don't know about a reboot. Like, I haven't seen the Mighty Ducks reboot on Disney Plus yet, but I don't know if I want to. I liked 1 and 2, didn't like 3. Like, do I really want
to
go down
there? I actually refuse to watch 3 and 4 Home Alone.
Mm. Mm-hmm. There's something nostalgic about the first one. I don't personally super connect with the second one.
Definitely it was made a year later.
Didn't see the third and fourth one. But there's something about the wow factor of the first one where, like, okay, it has a great story. It's super entertaining. But, like, how many times can we tell the same story?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be the same story. I'll be interested to see what they come up with. I hope that it's not disappointing. But knowing how much I just, from the depth of my heart, love the first two Home Alones, I don't know how this is going to go. It's kind of like the Space Jam reboot.
Yeah, that was my next question. What do you feel about the new Space Jam reboot?
I don't feel good about it.
I don't feel good about it.
I don't feel good about it.
Glad we're all on the same page.
Yeah, that was pretty much...
That was easy.
There we go.
Sorry, Hollywood.
I was talking about this today. Like, I am trying to take my, like, opinion of LeBron out of it. And just... I'm still going to watch it. It's still probably going to be entertaining. But I don't know if I can take my opinion of LeBron out of it.
Have you watched the original Space Jam recently?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I watched it last summer during quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this might be a hot take, but, like, it's not a good movie.
No, of course it's not a good movie, but
I think what we love about it is that it reminds us of the 90s and our childhood and, like, Warner Brothers and all things of Looney Tunes.
And Michael Jordan, I mean... If you were a fan of basketball at all, like, Michael Jordan is the epitome of basketball. I mean, sure, like, there were great people before him, great players, and there are great players after him. but he changed the game in a way that I don't feel like he took away from, like, the game itself, which I do feel like LeBron has done, or, like, his era. Not necessarily LeBron himself, but his era of players have taken away from the game. And Michael didn't do that. He changed the game, but he didn't take away from it at all.
Well, I mean, even with Home Alone 1, let's go back to Home Alone 1, Michael Jordan's in Home Alone 1. He's strapped to the train when he's trying to throw that fake party saying that everyone's in the house.
The cardboard cutout.
Yeah. And he's on the train going around in circles. I don't know if, you know, in a couple of years down the road, we're going to make a movie where there's going to be a cardboard cutout. Granted, a cardboard cutout of anybody nowadays is outrageous.
Kind of weird.
But, like, if LeBron will be that cardboard cutout that we're going to kind of see maybe in retrospect, just maybe in a different way.
Yeah.
I will say they will have to do a bang-up job for it to be a success, because...
Which one? Which one are we talking about?
Home Alone, sorry. Okay. The bar is up here. I do think that there is, like, room for creativity and entertainment. Enough time has passed. Like, we could do something a little bit different where it's still super entertaining and fresh and new, but they're really going to have to reach for the stars.
I think that I would have almost rather seen, like, the original characters.
Yeah.
In just like a grown-up version of Home Alone, rather than all new characters in kind of a similar situation. I think I would rather see like the progression of our OG people. Like,
yeah.
Home Alone 1 and 2, not 3 and 4, very different people, not a fan. Actually, I never saw it, so I can't say that. But I would assume, because, you know, there's an authenticity and an originality there that for the first two that do not exist for anything coming after it.
Well, what if Macaulay Culkin makes like a cameo? Would that satisfy?
No, because Catherine O'Hara is not in it, and, you know, RIP the dad. Like, he obviously can be in it.
Yep.
But it would have just been cool to, like, carry on those stories.
Yeah.
Rather than create all new characters and an all new story that's not original, but just kind of a riff off what the original story is.
I do feel like they're never as good as the original, like Home Alone or Full House.
Fuller House.
They kind of did, you know, keep some of the same characters, but like the nostalgia is there, I guess, but like it's just different.
Which nostalgia, I think, is one of the most powerful emotions that...
Totally.
Yeah, I think that it can make people do crazy things and love crazy things. But I do. I think that you have a point. Like, nostalgia only gets you so far if it's bad.
Yeah.
So when is this coming out?
They're thinking Christmas 2021. So this year.
I mean, I love a Christmas movie. I'll watch it.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely watch it. But I'm not saying I'm gonna love it like I do the first two.
As long as they have Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree and Michael Jordan cardboard cutouts,
we'll give it a chance. All right. This next story is about a teenager in the Professional Bowling Association. Did not even know that was a thing. He hit the first 7-10 bowling split on TV in 30 years.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Yeah, which I like don't bowl enough to have remembered what a 7-10 split was, but you know.
It's the two corner pins.
Right, yes. Yeah. So that's like the number of, there's like, you know, the one is the first pin, and then 2-3, and you, yeah. So you know. But yeah, so 7 is the far left, and 10 is the far right. And he hit the 10 pin, and it like ricocheted in the air and hit the 7. Is that right? Is it?
Yeah.
I would assume it's left to right.
You can go either way. It all depends on like which handed you are and which type of spin you put on the ball.
Oh.
But hey, I have an idea. Let's go ahead and play the audio.
You know, I think there's so many processes to becoming a champion on this tour, and especially winning a major. And I'll get to those processes right after this shot. Again, you can see that ball breaking loose early.
7-10. Come on, man.
Again, the look back. So
that's what I mean. I don't know why I re-racked.
Right through the face, leaving the 7-10. The 7-10 only been made on television 3 times in the history of professional bowling on TV.
Come on, kid, do it. Ah!
love how excited they got during this video.
You just want to hear it.
Yeah, I felt like they were, like, I don't know, celebrating something that I thought was very exciting, which I don't, unfortunately, think the 7-10 split is that exciting. Well, actually, I do think
really
that it's
cool.
It's pretty cool. Now that I've, like, watched the video, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is pretty awesome.
If I did it, I would pee my pants.
I mean, especially if you take a look at our nostalgia, going back to it, Alley Cat Strike on Disney.
Yeah.
You had a 7-10 split that came down to the final scene in the movie. So, I mean, I just think the 7-10 split's like that fabled, ooh, if you can get it to win it.
I've never been able to do it.
Oh, I've never been able to do it. I've gotten close, but I've never been able to do it.
Kids today will never understand the glory of a DCOM.
An original Disney movie. Y'all, one Friday every month, I like set aside because I knew that they were going to be releasing a new film and I had to be home to watch it.
Meredith, did you ever try putting the bowling ball down like an Alley Cat Strike and putting your finger in and spinning it? And
oh, for
push
sure.
It down?
Who didn't try doing that?
Me. I never tried it, unfortunately, but I'm going to try it now.
Yeah, you have to, but I will tell you how it is.
Well, I'm stronger now than I was when Alley Cat Strike came out, so there's a chance.
Okay, but let me just tell you that strength, obviously, I applied that to my attempt.
Meredith, how old were you when you tried this?
Like 20.
You're stronger now. You didn't start Fit Factory until you were 25.
Hashtag Fit Factory.
Still buying for
no,
that
but
sponsorship,
I'm
going
to tell
Johnny.
You what strength does. It sends your ball right to the gutter even quicker.
You're like, there's got to be a way. We can figure this out. I think between the three of us, we're smart people. We can figure this out. Or we can just
call
really
Bill Nye.
Or call Bill Nye. Or we can really study Alley Cat Strike and figure out exactly how they did it. And then we're going to replicate it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Mythbusters episode. I'm down.
Yes. Oh my gosh, this sounds so fun. I'm in. Okay. The last story. I'm like even having a hard time just like saying it with a straight face and not laughing. West Virginia is offering a $12,000 stipend in cash for anyone who wants to relocate there for 2 years.
Like relocate to there?
Yes. So they have to move to West Virginia to get this money.
Hmm. They're really hurting for residents, huh?
They are. I mean, yeah, it's West Virginia. Would you move to West Virginia? If they gave you $12,000. Okay, here's a better question. How much money would West Virginia have to give you for you to move there?
Not enough.
Have you seen Wrong Turn?
Many times. And I've also been to West Virginia, so I've lived Wrong Turn.
I went to Virginia Tech, so it's right around there.
Yeah. So, like, as a, you know, a neighboring Virginian.
Okay, so I feel like it's a little different for me. Like, a lot of people kind of lump Virginia and West Virginia together, and especially going to Virginia Tech, like, it was right there. So it's not a big deal to me, but it gets a bad rap, and I've seen all the movies, and I'm a little scared. I'm not going to lie. I think there is something to the state line.
Yeah, well, I mean, these movies exist for a reason. Like, it's not just because they're just like, oh, West Virginians are never going to say anything about all the wrong turns that we made. Like, there's like 10 of them. They're never going to be like, oh, you jerks, like, you made another wrong turn. This is not true. Like, I've literally never heard anyone be like, yeah, this is incorrect.
Too bad it's not going like the other direction. Like, they're not paying the West Virginia residents to move out of the state.
They're like, we need to start over.
We need to restart.
We need some fresh citizens. You guys can go to Tennessee, which, I mean, they'd probably fit in.
I wonder how they came up with 12,000. Like, it seems very arbitrary.
Yeah, I don't know. The plan is for, like, if you would get it in monthly installments for the first year. And then if you stay for the second year, you would get just $2,000. It's like a $2,000 bonus if you're like, yeah, I'll stay.
$12,000 a month for a year?
No. You would get $10,000 in installments for the first year. So it would be I don't know, $1,500 or something. Or $1,200.
Don't look at me. I've had two margaritas. That math ain't going to happen right now.
I guess we can fact check it. I don't know that it's that important. But
okay, this is way less impressive than 12,000 a month.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not 12,000 a month. I mean, it's West Virginia. Come on.
I don't feel like anyone's winning here.
I will be interested to see if it works for them. They're giving $12,000 cash, a year of free outdoor recreation, including whitewater rafting, rock climbing, zip lining, ATVing, golfing, and skiing.
Actually, well, when you put it that way.
Yeah, when you put it that way, I might
over $1,200 worth of free outdoor gear rentals, free access to co-working space, which I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I wouldn't mind free access to co-working space. And then professional advancement through WVU, including access to the business school's entrepreneurship ecosystem, networking events, and social events to help incoming residents meet new people. That I feel like they could leave out.
This is fascinating.
Actually, yeah, that's kind of cool. Now that you throw in all those extra, hey, let's go whitewater rafting. Or do you want to go rock climbing this week?
Whitewater rafting is terrifying to me. We've had this conversation. Mm-hmm. We were on the way to the cabin.
Yeah. Been there, done that. I don't feel like I need to test my fate anymore.
Yeah, it's like that is one of those things where I'm just like, if I fall off the raft, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, when they were telling me what happens if you fall out, I was like taking notes.
Yeah. And then it would be useless if you fell out because it would just be watered down paper.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when you read the article, it doesn't sound terrible. I mean, it's just West Virginia. It's not Turkey.
I know, but here are its counterparts. Tulsa, Oklahoma is also doing this.
Oh, Tulsa. If you know friends, you know Chandler went to Tulsa.
And Miami. So these are
Miami
like
of Ohio, Miami of Florida.
Speaking of espresso.
Yeah, these are the types of cities that are doing this like initiative.
It's really interesting.
It's interesting.
It's interesting, but I'm good here.
I think that I would be like, if there were a city in like Wyoming.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Or
Montana.
Yeah.
Utah. Speaking of somebody going there next.
Those would be more enticing to me than West Virginia.
Well, I think that's why they're doing it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's fair. But like $12,000 isn't enough. I'm like, not much. You got to throw in like way more than this.
Well, I mean, it's not only the $12,000. It's all the rentals. It's all the mountain biking. It's all the rock climbing. It's all the skiing. It's all whitewater rafting, right?
Yeah, but I don't know that any of this sounds like exciting enough to me to.
You like, gotta live somewhere pretty bad.
Move to West Virginia. Maybe if I still lived in like Greenville, Tennessee, I'd be like, yeah, West Virginia sounds pretty good right now.
Time for an adventure.
Yeah. But yeah. Nashville's pretty sweet.
But you know what? They will get people. And then in 5 years, there will be a Netflix documentary about it. And we'll be like, dang, we should have done that. That looks sweet.
They're going to be from Greenville. They're going to be from Richmond.
Probably from straight from the mud bog.
Straight from the mud bog.
From Columbus, Ohio.
Yep. Just moving down.
Yeah. They'll get some people. It's interesting. I'll be interested to see.
Yeah.
How it works for them.
Where would you pick out of those cities? Tulsa, West Virginia, and Miami.
Miami for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be like a crapshoot in terms of like, would I live for a long time? I don't know. Because Miami's just like, it's rough, right? Like, it's one of those places where you want to go for a weekend, but living there, I think, you know, we have a friend who's applying for the FBI, and she's like, that is the last place that I want to go because the crime rate is so high.
Yep.
So I don't know, like, how long I would last in Miami, but I feel like it'd be fun while I was there. So
also, same thing for West Virginia.
Also, very true. I mean,
Tulsa's looking nice.
Yeah, Tulsa's looking
Oklahoma,
real good.
Yeah, Oklahoma, yeah. But they get so many tornadoes. I don't know. Oklahoma's, like, in the center of Tornado Valley, right?
I don't know. I guess I'll just become a tornado chaser.
Twister, isn't that what come, like baby. Carrie Underwood's? What is her song about tornadoes about all about? Isn't she from Oklahoma?
Yeah, she's from Oklahoma. I think Miranda Lambert's from Oklahoma. They turned out all right.
Yeah, but they're all here now. So apparently Oklahoma wasn't the place for them. So yeah, I'd probably choose Miami.
Fair.
Okay. Awesome. Well, that was the good news for the week. Meredith, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad that you spent your Thursday evening, even though you should have been in bed like 2 hours ago, with us sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me. This was a blast.
It was really fun to have a different personality and different perspective in here instead of just Gene and I talking to each other. We've done that a couple times.
Yeah, only twice.
Hey, it was good, but it was just nice to have her here.
Yeah, it's good to have variety.
Anytime.
Well, we really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope to see you again next week. Cheers. Are we recording?
Yep, we're recording.
We're recording.
Yep, we are recording. Hold it up. Hold it up. Let people hear it. Fact check.
I don't know why we're always excited to be wrong, but I think, you know, I think for me, it means I have a place to go. You know, like, I have not arrived yet.
There's still
very much more in this life for me to figure out.
I have definitely not figured everything out. Not even close.
Yeah, so I think the trend for the last few weeks is we've been relatively smart and haven't had to fact check much of anything.
Yeah.
And this week, we have a lot to fact check. We've digressed.
Comparatively, we have a lot, but it's still not a lot.
We've digressed. Wait, not digressed. We've,
Yeah.
Is it digressed? No.
Digressed. Is this one of those dioxide things again?
Oh man, Nick, I have thought about that so many times over the last week, and I can't even remember what I used to say before we recorded the podcast.
It's fine. We're good.
I don't know what is correct anymore. My mind is playing tricks on me.
We're good.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about cedar pollen, and we were confused about if the trees actually pollinated themselves, or
was it just pollen from something else?
Right. So here's where we landed. The cedar trees generate a lot of pollen.
Yes. Clouds of pollen.
Clouds of pollen. I have seen these videos. It is disgusting, and I'm pretty sure that I would go into like anaphylactic shock if I was around it.
Yes,
or I would
probably
just at least need an inhaler.
Probably.
You know, we'll go with the less traumatic version. But so they do generate a lot of pollen. Still not sure on like the pollinating side. I do think that is like what bees were created for.
Yeah.
I'm sure that that's the only reason that bees were created. Right? I mean, what?
To pollinate.
Pollinate, right. That's their job. So they pollinate, but cedar trees do generate a lot of pollen.
Yes. And usually it's in the winter.
Ugh.
It's like January, February, and then by March rolls around in Texas, next thing you know, your car's yellow, but in actual it's white. But you have a yellow car instead of
white. I mean, also in Tennessee, because that is what my car looks like right now, and I have not prayed to get it washed.
It just rained.
I know. That's the thing. I am waiting for just a streak of good weather, and then I will wash all the pollen away, and it'll be great.
Maybe next week.
I don't even know. It's like back to 30 degrees right now. So the weather is unpredictable.
I know. Gross.
Really gross. The next thing we talked about was a socialite, and I guess when they were a thing and why they were. I don't know if we really talked about why they were a thing.
It's more of the socialite term. We all went to the Hamptons, Great Gatsby, 20s. That's what we think of when socialite. But when you actually look at it, socialite is still a very prevalent term. It just happens to be with, like, Paris Hilton.
Okay, so to be honest, I was not thinking about... I did think about the Great Gatsby a little bit, but you know what else I was thinking about?
What?
Revenge. That great ABC series that lasted for only, like, 4 seasons. But Emily Van Camp was a socialite. I don't even remember what her name was in the show. I'm sure we can look this up really, really, really quickly.
I don't know. Like, apparently it's definitely developed through the centuries. Like, it says...
It used to be, like, I think it was a British term originally, yep. And they were always a part of the aristocracy.
Yep. And then in the 20th century, you have Time magazine actually saying the word socialite for the first time in, like, 1928. And then 21st century rolls around. Next thing you know, you have, you know, pretty much what it is now, unfortunately.
Paris Hilton.
I didn't want to say the name again.
It's fine.
We're all fine here.
Yeah,
cool, cool,
we can say
cool,
it.
Cool, cool, cool,
and
cool, cool.
Emily Van Camp's name in Revenge was Emily Thorne. So she, I don't think, was super out of character.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm sure she was out of character. I like to believe that Emily Van Camp is a lot cooler and sweeter and gentler than Emily Thorne.
I like it.
But, you know, they kept her name. So there was something about her that resonated with them. All right. The next fact check, we talked about the Washington football team.
We did. And we just thought it'd be cool for an update.
Yes. So, and this is not even necessarily a factual update. This is more of an op-ed. Yeah. Someone thinks that it is best for them to just remain the Washington football team.
Yep. Just keep the Washington football team. No need to really bring anything back. European soccer kind of brought it over to our soccer where it's just the football clubs. And I don't know. Maybe he's got a point, but come on. The rest of the NFL is not good. No.
Speaking of European soccer, we have not even talked about it, but it has been crazy this last week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you guys have been keeping up with it, right?
A little bit. We keep up more with MLS. We have season tickets to the Nashville soccer club, so we've definitely been keeping up with it.
Yeah, basically they wanted to make this like Super League, and everyone was super against it, and it was crazy for a while, and then they were like, no, Super League's not happening, so it all went up in flames in a matter of like 7 days.
No.
But I guess there's still a lot that we can learn from the European soccer leagues.
I think so.
So anyways, keep the Washington football team so that you aren't racist and we will support you. Another thing that we talked about was, I guess, country singers from Oklahoma. Not sure why this was a thing.
Tulsa. We talked about Tulsa.
Tulsa. Why did we talk about Tulsa? Oh!
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Okay. So, in full disclosure, we do fact check the week after we record. So, I basically lose sight and all memory of what we had conversations about. But it's all coming back to me because we talked about West Virginia and other cities that either were doing it or at least that we were like, what's comparable?
Yeah. So it was like West Virginia, it was Miami
and Tulsa.
And Tulsa.
They were all running similar programs. Yep.
And gotcha. Then you brought up, well, it's Tornado Alley.
Tornadoes. Yeah. Why would you want to live
there? And we thought about country stars and, you know, famous ones from there and how they made it. So it can't be that bad. Carrie Underwood was definitely up there. And then we brought up Miranda Lambert.
Because Carrie Underwood has that song literally all about trauma and tornadoes in Oklahoma. Like Blown Away or something. I don't know. Is that what it's called?
It is called Blown Away.
Oh,
wow. It's kind of very fitting for a tornado song, don't you think?
I nailed it.
Solid.
So, yeah, I guess we just... Sorry, Miranda. We looped you into Carrie Underwood's world, and we understand now
you're from Longview, Texas.
However, we got this information from Wikipedia, and I know for a fact that Wikipedia is not always correct. My teachers and Lamorne Morris have all said so.
Well, I mean, I think there were a couple of things that like I went to go fact check for this, and they all said Longview, Texas.
Oh, okay, so it's probably correct.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are all the ways that we were wrong this week. I think that's it, right?
I mean, I think I've listened to it a couple of times to where, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty sure that's it. Oh, no, there was one more thing.
Ooh.
Our math was wrong on the same West Virginia thing. You said it was like $1,500 a month, and it definitely is not $1,500 a month.
Well, to be fair, I dropped it down to $1,200, which is still wrong, but is closer to the accurate number, which was it's probably like 833.66 repeating or something.
No, 3-3 repeating. Let's not give him an extra 33 cents.
Sorry, whoa, not two whoa, thirds, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just one third.
Yeah. But that now that's actually all we got wrong.
Okay, so that's the fact check for this week. Thanks for joining us, guys. Nick Elliott is our producer, engineer, sound mixer, editor, and resident bearded man. Josh Suddeth over at Sud Studios created our theme song. Our friend Sean Connerly in Ireland finds the good news we talk about each week. And Haruna Rashid makes each episode look pretty on all the interwebs.
If you enjoy our podcast, please remember to like, comment, and share with other people who you think would enjoy it. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Cheers.